Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Need expert advice on your family's health? Speak to us today. Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
There never is a right time to die, but many people feel passionate about being in their own home when it does happen. But respecting the wishes of your loved one can come with significant challenges. And a report released by the Irish Hospice Foundation today has found that the systemic gaps in the provision of end-of-life care can lead to consistent barriers and difficulties for both the individual, those who care for them at home, and also for health professionals. And I'm joined now by Paula O'Reilly, CEO of the Irish Hospice Foundation, for more on this. You're very welcome, Paula. It's lovely to have you here. So we've 30,000 people who die in Ireland every year. Only 23% of those people die at home. This is according to what you're telling us today. But 70% want to die at home. It's extraordinary.
Yes, and I think, you know, the choice as to the place of where you die is really important. And for some people, you know, it may not be medically or practically possible, but it does show that the majority of people, if it is an option, 70% of people would like that to happen. So at the moment, only 20%, which is about 2 in 10 people, have that as an option. So the report was really to look at what was the experience of families, carers, healthcare professionals who were looking after someone at end of life in the community, to see what was the experiences that they had in doing this. Mm-hmm. Because obviously, if it's 70%, we really need to look at how do we improve the coordination of care so that that becomes a real option for people.
And those barriers that are there and the difficulties, they, in some cases, I know, take the choice away from people, don't they? If somebody says, I want to die at home, it just might not be possible in the current setup in certain parts of the country.
Yeah, certainly the report would show that there definitely was some good experiences at end of life. Both healthcare professionals and families referenced that. But it definitely depended on your ability to access services. And personally, my mom died of cancer 2.5 years ago, and her final wish was that she wanted to die at home. And we really wanted to make that happen as a family. So a lot of the findings in the report were very similar to what we would have experienced as a family, that, you know, trying to coordinate those services was very challenging, and having the knowledge about those services and being able to get timely access, whether it was to home care, whether it was to the night nursing service. And we see it in the report where people say that they weren't aware that there is night nurses. And if they had been aware, that would have made it obviously a lot better. Mm-hmm. So families and healthcare professionals in the report did say that those that they were helping had a good death. But in most cases, it was the families, the carers and the professionals going above and beyond. And obviously, as a system, that's not going to be sustainable. And that's why the Irish Hospice Foundation really wanted to look at what are some of those obstacles that families are having.
OK, and talk us through some of those obstacles then. Is it mostly to do with care?
It's a range of different things. One of the key areas was information and resources. So as one family member said, their parent gets discharged from hospital and straight away they're on the phone trying to find out what services are available. A lot of families from a social point of view didn't realise that there was a medical card for when you get a terminal diagnosis, which obviously there is financial burdens on family as well. Similarly, that we rely on families as carers, so that people didn't realise that within your own employee policies that you can take carers leave. So there was a lot of information and resources that families didn't know. The other thing then was out of hours. So what really was very challenging was that Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, there was a level of support and access to services. But if you were supporting someone at end of life, and as one family member said, you hit a bank holiday and your parent starts to deteriorate, and you're not.
Who do you phone?
Exactly.
And one of the other things that struck me from the report was somebody saying to you, or a number of people saying to you, when they have a relative coming home for end of life care, rather than feeling that they have achieved something and having that person where they want to be at the end of their life, they feel frightened. That's a terrible indictment of the system, isn't it?
It is. And as one of the healthcare professionals said, you know, when it works, it's so satisfying for the family because you've honoured that person's wishes. You know, as the Irish Hospice Foundation say, we only get one chance to get it right. And it is very challenging to coordinate all the different parts, whether it's home care, night nursing, the community palliative care team. But we really do need to improve it if that is to become a realistic option. Because as a family said, you know, if you can't get access out of hours, well, then what happens is that people panic, they get stressed and they decide, OK, maybe we should just transfer the person back into hospital. And that's not what the person wants at end of life.
And we should say, and I know the Hospice Foundation has been working with hospitals to improve the end of life experience for people, and that you can have a good death if you are in hospital. But
absolutely,
if you want to be at home, there is nothing like being at home.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, certainly my experience as with my mom was that was the final thing that you really, really wanted. So I think for people to be able to fulfill somebody's wishes, it's really, really important. But we do need to look at, you know, there was people within the study that did say their family member did have a good death. And, you know, they had access to night nursing services. They did have home care. So parts of the country, we know we can do it well. The problem is that it's not the standard for everybody. There was some people where it was very stressful and quite traumatic.
And the system, as you said earlier, it's very hard to figure out. It's very hard to get information. You almost need a health professional in your family to be able to navigate the system, don't you?
Absolutely. And I mean, I'm originally an occupational therapist. So my mom had bone cancer. So even when we took her home from hospital, you know, knowing how to transfer her from bed to sitting when she became so dependent, I knew that because that was my profession. But as families in the report said to us, where there is a burden of care on families, you know, having even those training skills would be really, really helpful to them. Mm-hmm. So looking at, you know, how do they support someone in lifting that person, you know, personal care, even mouth hygiene, all those kind of basic things that, you know, family really want to get right and carers want to get right.
So what are you recommending should happen, Paula?
So there's a few key recommendations from the report. The first one is, due to that lack of information and resources, we do feel there's a need to scope and develop a support line. So certainly I think that it would be a positive first step. Secondly, looking at what training is out there for families to look at, you know, how do we pull together what's there, because there is some good resources out there, to make that more accessible. The third is really investment in services. So it's not just about the financial investment, it's also about the staffing. There's huge challenges in health sector staffing at the moment. So in terms of home care, night nursing services, the community palliative care team and GPs, we really need to see investment there. So there is a new adult palliative care policy that will come out. And I think it'll be really important for the government to ensure that policy is invested in. And you know, we have this launch a care policy. It is about developing community capacity. And I think the new palliative care policy with investment behind it will be really, really important.
Okay, that will improve things. Can people go to the Hospice Foundation for information on how to die at home and do it well and successfully and in a calm way?
Yes, and there's probably two things I'd recommend. There is a Think Ahead pack that we have on our website, hospicefoundation.ie, which allows families to have that conversation with the person in terms of place of care, what their final wishes are, down to their spiritual wishes, their comfort, what music they want, the family, whoever they want around them. So that's a really good tool to start a very difficult conversation. So that's a resource that's on our website. And then on top of that, we do have information on supports for families, carers and for healthcare professionals, okay, which are really important.
Paula, thank you very much for coming in. Good to talk to you. Paula
thank
O'Reilly,
you,
CEO of the Irish Hospice Foundation. Back after this break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.